you don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. So, housekeeping details. We started late today because of the Cardinals game. Tomorrow is a full show. Friday, we probably won't be on at all. I think Kevin and I are going to be kind of circling around the game just in case it's a two-hour game or something. But other than that, we'll be off for the July 4th. Matt Pauly joins us. And Matt, before we get into the Cardinals, let's get into you here. You've had a couple of health concerns. How you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, yesterday was one of the more interesting days of my life. I tweaked my knee like a week ago working out. No big deal. Small thing. We all deal with it. It wasn't. It was not healing at the rate that I would have liked it to heal. So I walked into an ortho clinic yesterday. They said do a steroid shot. It'll be better in a week or so. That was about 10 in the morning. Andrew texted me at 1 and said, "Hey, can you do come on DGS at 4? Sure, no problem. Everything was good. By 1:30. I was in the most pain I've ever been in my entire life. My knee had completely locked up. I could not move. My wife got me to the ER, thankfully. I don't know how she got me to the car. At one point, I was sitting on like the side of the couch, and I literally could not move my right leg no matter what I did. I finally kind of kicked it with my left foot to get it to move just a little bit, and it was the first time in my life. They always ask you at the doctor, like, what's your pain level, 1 to 10? First time I've ever said 10 in my life, and they gave me some drugs. My leg is completely immobilized right now. I cannot move my knee at all. The pain's better today, but I still don't have any movement in my knee. So I am working from home for the time being because I cannot drive a car right now.
Man, oh man, that's terrible.
So you're saying that I should challenge you to a race now?
Now would be the moment to do it. It's pretty bad when your one-year-old daughter is crawling at three times the speed that you can walk.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Yes, I just had some sort of reaction to that steroid shot where I got an effusion in my knee where it just filled up with fluid and completely locked everything up. And I've never experienced the pain that I had yesterday that I've ever had in my life. It was my wife. I needed to like tell people I can't work. I couldn't talk. I was literally screaming. I was just screaming in pain. And my wife called Steve to tell him, "Hey, Matt's not coming in tonight."
Wow. That's just nuts.
God almighty.
Yeah. So 24 hours ago, right now, was not good for me.
Was it instant relief when they gave you the drugs?
No, and I had started, I was at the ER for like 7 hours. It took me 3 hours to even see the doctor. So I'm sitting in the waiting room, writhing in pain for hours. My wife and two daughters are there with us, and my wife did an amazing job keeping them, you know, together. By the time I finally got, it was probably 4.5 hours till I saw an actual doctor, and by that point, the pain had started to subside a little bit, and then, yeah, once they gave me the Percocet or whatever it was, then things started to feel a lot better. And I woke up better today. Like I did not take one of those drugs today. I think I'm done with those now.
Did they seem pretty sure what it was right away?
Yeah, they did the X-ray and they saw the effusion. So they knew right away what it was. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Scary though. Like when your leg just stops working and you're experiencing pain like you've never had before, all kinds of terrible thoughts start to go through your head.
Isn't life weird? Because we've all seen television shows where someone is in the ER with a 10 out of 10 pain. And you're like, I'm sure that doesn't happen that often. And then suddenly you're that person. Like, that's your reality.
And it wasn't enough to push me to the front of the line either.
Yeah. They must not have believed you.
No, I think they believe me. It's just that's the state of medicine. And we chose our hospital based off which one probably would get us in the quickest.
Yeah.
And even with that, it was still 3 hours in the waiting room before even getting back and another 90 minutes in our little, you know, cubicle type thing before we even saw a doctor.
So is the prognosis good? I mean, do you know if there's something more sinister underlying this?
I don't think so. I think it's, yeah, I think I just, I know, actually it was interesting, one of the former coaches that I worked with in college basketball, she's now an assistant coach for a WNBA team, she saw my post on Facebook about it, and she said the exact same thing happened to her, where she was crawling out of her place in the middle of the night to get to her car to drive, to get to the hospital. And I vaguely had remembered that because I was around the team then. I think sometimes people just have these negative reactions to steroid shots. And I think, you know, once that problem fixes, the other problem is going to fix too. And I should be good to go.
Okay. You're listening to Matt Pauly. Matt does the pre and the post game and sports open line and such. Matt, I thought you had especially good, poignant thoughts there at the end of your post game. And I'm going to butcher this, but basically, my dad used to say, you're either chicken or feathers. You're either great or you're crappy. And that seems to be a pattern we have with the Cardinals.
Yeah. Either they can't lose or they can't score. It's not just can't win, but can't score in a situation like this. Let's give the Pirates some credit. They came in on a great roll.
Sure.
They beat the Mets like 31-4 in their three games beforehand. So they're above 500 since Don Kelly took over as the interim manager. So this Pirates team is not indicative of their, you know, 12 game under 500 record. But the bottom line is you certainly should not be going in there and getting swept. And even more so, you shouldn't be going in there and not scoring a single run. The numbers with runners in scoring position today were terrible. They were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. And I'm very aware of the fact that there's some guys out of the lineup, but it should not impact the team so much that they can't score a single run. And now they have – this is a big series coming up against Chicago starting on Friday.
Yeah, this season has been super weird in that way, right? It's been the giant pendulum swing. One minute you look up and you're like, man, I don't know if they're ever going to be good. And the next time you look up, you're like, wow, they've won 10 of the last 12. And it's been this back and forth. I don't know how many teams would be good offensively if you take out their number 3, number 4 hole hitters and your number 5 or 6 hole guy. I mean, when you don't have Herrera and Contreras, those are your two best hitters. Now, to your point, Matt, that doesn't mean it should be zero. It doesn't mean there should be no runs on the board for three straight games. To make the other side of that argument, not against you, but just of the Pirates thing, they swept the Mets literally right before this series started. So they're playing well right now. Their bats got hot for this week of time. We'll see how long they keep it going. But, I mean, it's not like they were on a 10-game losing streak and you came in and they did that. They've been playing good ball. In fact, they've been playing, I want to say, better than 500 ball since their managerial change.
Yeah, I think they're 2 games over 500 now since Don Kelly took over.
But I think the main point, and I think the scary point for Cardinals fans, and we see it in these wild swings, there just isn't room for error. If one thing is off, you're not winning. I mean, like whether it's a couple of starting pitchers, whether it's, you know, the offense for a period of time. But if you, I'll break it down better later, Matt, when we're doing Redbird Rush Hour, but you can see the wild swings. Like you start 14-19 and then you go on this huge run in May where you're just unbelievable and it doesn't look like you're going to lose. And then you go on another stretch where you lose like 10 out of 13 and then now you bounce back and now you're doing it again. Like now you've lost 5 of the last 8. Like it's just this constant swinging back and forth. And I think the one thing that ties it together is the lack of room for error.
I would agree. It's weird because their best is really, really good, but it's like they're at the top of a mountain, and if you take one step forward, you fall down a significant amount to get to your second best. You know, whatever your level is when you're not clicking on all cylinders, when all of a sudden one of those cylinders goes away, it really feels like they're a completely different team.
Yeah, It's bizarre, but like as we've talked about, I think you and Bernie and I talked about it last week, maybe on the Redbird Rush Hour. It's like, but we knew this coming in. this stuff is not really surprising. In fact, what's surprising is they've been so comfortably above 500 for as much of the season as they have been.
I think what's surprising is how quickly it can turn. They they swept Cleveland. It looked really, that final game of the Cleveland series, that same day the Cubs lose, the Brewers lose, you're moving up in the standings. Everything in the world is great when it comes to Cardinals baseball. And then the next day, they're a different team. So, yeah, I agree that I think we were expecting some version of this, but I think it's the light switch nature of how quickly it can go from bad to good that is a little bit startling.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're looking at it, I mean, we all see it, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time here, Dave. There are three guys when they start, you don't feel like you know what you're going to get, good or bad. It could be good, but it could also be bad. You've got a bullpen that has some guys have built some trust, but not many, you know, and even the closer doesn't have a really big margin for error at this point.
Well, Wheels, you said something the other day, and you're here to correct me if I paraphrase it incorrectly, but you basically said that we have three fifth starters on our rotation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, people were mad that Andrew Haney shut down the Cardinals in game one. He'd be your third starter. He's better than three of your guys. I mean, he's not better than Libertor or Sonny Gray, but he's better than the other three.
Mitch Keller might be your two.
Mitch Keller would be as good as anybody on your staff. If you look at his season totals, his strikeouts, his ERA, all that, he might be Sonny Gray, talent-wise, like in terms of numbers.
I would still take Sonny Gray over Mitch Keller, but I think Mitch Keller would slot in and be, you know, Matthew Liberatore's best is probably better than Mitch Keller's best, but the consistency of who you are, I mean, Mitch Keller might slot in front of him.
I don't know. I mean, I it's a tough call. Sonny might get a slight edge in that regard, but yeah, it's the point is that Mitch Keller is as likely at least tied to be your second best starting pitcher. Obviously, Skeens is on his own planet.
Well, I heard on the pregame, they were playing, I think, Ollie from the Gas House yesterday. And Ollie basically said, hey, I'm doing the best with what I got here when it comes to the rotation. This is what we got.
Yeah, and they don't have much behind it. I mean, we've kicked that around. You got McGreevy, who could probably be good, but we don't know for sure. He's got a very small sample size. His last outing wasn't good.
What is Graceffo's deal? Like, I've only really saw him pitch once, and I was very impressed, but I know that he hasn't had the consistency.
He's not a starter in my book. Everything about him says reliever. He adds the extra mile or two on his velo when he's a reliever, and that's going to be the difference for him at the major league level. I could be wrong. I just don't see a path for him to being a major league starter and being pretty good at it. He can have more of an impact as a reliever.
I mean, look, he's 25, so he's not a kid, and he's been okay this year at Memphis, but he's mostly working as a reliever at Memphis. I mean, he's only made four starts out of 14 appearances there, and here I think he's made nothing but relief appearances, like 10 relief appearances. And he's struggled as a starter even in the minors. You know, I mean, he's put a near 5 ERA as a starter in the minors the last couple of years.
Would you guys expect Weatherholt to make, when he does make the move, to just jump from AA, or do you think he has to do the AAA thing first?
I would think a little bit of time at AAA. If the team completely falls out of it, I could see the Mason Wynn situation where he comes up in September as a September call-up, still keeps his rookie eligibility for next season. If the team is still very much in it, I think that becomes more of an unlikely scenario. He's going to be in AAA before we – I'm not totally sure why he's still at AA.
Yeah, me too.
There's no good reason for him to be. I understand, like, they're – the Cardinals have always valued winning for developing players. They want them to be in winning environments, and they're winning at Springfield, and Memphis is not a winning team. You look at their lineup is not good. And he's probably in a better environment in terms of being surrounded by other players that protect him a little bit. I don't mean protect him from weaknesses, just you got to be careful to other guys, where Memphis, you don't really have that. But at some point, the individual development of a potential star player needs to trump you know, being in the right environment. Like, I think you can learn how to be a, quote, winning player to a degree, but you need to be challenged more than that. You need to face the best competition you can face. That's what's going to tell you whether you're ready for the big leagues or not.
Yeah.
Let me add this as somebody who was a AAA broadcaster for 6 years. AAA is the most toxic environment in all of baseball.
It's bad.
The only guy who wants to be at AAA is the guy who just got called up from AA, and about 2 weeks later, he doesn't want to be there anymore. It's a bunch of guys who are sick of being at AAA or want to get back to the big leagues. No, AA is such a better culture than AAA is. So there are teams out there that hide guys from AAA that maybe want to get them 2-3 weeks a month at the end of a season or 2-3 weeks a month at a beginning of a season to eventually get them to the big leagues. I don't know if that plays into this at all with the Cardinals. I just know, having been around AAA, it's not a great environment.
No, it's not. But here's the thing about this. That only matters for some guys. That won't matter for J.J. Weatherholt. It's not going to bother him. He's a ball player. He'll be fine.
That's the most interesting thing you guys have said all day. That was really, no, for
AAA
real.
AAA is wild,
That's
man.
So interesting to know that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. Feel better, buddy.
You bet.
Welcome back, guys. DG.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later, when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As 425, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. You can download the podcast. Andrew, how do they download the podcast?
Well, they can go to the Apple... in here. Oh, it's Kyle.
Are you expecting someone to sneak up on you?
I don't know. As soon as you said that, the door opened and somebody came in and scared
me.
You can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can go to the Odyssey app if you want. We're on the iHeart app now, which is fun.
Nice.
I've never used the iHeart app, so I don't 100% know how that one works, mm-hmm. but it's probably the exact same as the Odyssey app.
Good, good, good. Bottom line is, there's lots of ways to find us. We're not streaming today because we started late, but we typically stream on Facebook and YouTube, and you can take part in it, and you can say things, and we'll typically shout you out or use your suggestion for the show, what have you. I shocked my body last night.
How'd you do that?
I ate grapes.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, my diet for about 2 years has been complete crap. Lots of DoorDash, lots of fast food, and like I talked about, I have the genetic marker for Alzheimer's. One of the things you should do is have like a Mediterranean diet. So I'm trying to do that. And last night, for the first time in months and months and months, I had a handful of grapes, and my body was like,
not having it.
I think it's called fruit. I'm not sure, but I could just feel it.
I bet they tasted great.
Yeah, I'm being a bit overly dramatic, but it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grapes are one of like the natural born desserts of the earth.
Yeah. remember how I'm taking Prevagen for my memory, but I keep forgetting it?
Yes.
I have written procrastinate on my show sheet, and I circled day 4. It's day 4 that I wanted to talk about my procrastination, but I procrastinated talking about my procrastination.
It just never feels like a good time.
How bad is that? But I heard something interesting. People who have whatever letters you want, ADHD, OCD, you know, PTSD, that what it is isn't so much that you're lazy. It's that something in your brain blows up a task. Like, I need to go to the DMV. Well, there's one that blows up into just like impossibility. But even like, I should take the trash out turns into... not just taking the trash out, but it turns into, well, then I have to like take the trash out of the can, then I have to go take it out that.
Yeah,
I
it's put an another anxiety thing.
Totally. Totally. Just like an exaggeration of life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel that. And I feel that way with a lot of chores. Like, I'll be like, oh, it's going to suck. I don't want to do it. And then you're actually doing it, and it's completely fine.
Totally
but
fine.
Your brain has just turned it into this. Yeah. Like,
except for the DMV. That's always bad.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's always worse than you think it's going to be.
Also, it looks like the Trump administration is going to keep non-competes. The FTC had said, nope, we're against this. It's terrible. It's a version of paid slavery. You can't make people stay there if they don't want to stay there. You can't keep them from pursuing another job. And the Trump administration said, you can. So they're not going to pursue that.
Looking out for us.
Looking out for us.
Looking out for the working man.
Yes.
Because you know all those billionaires have to worry about non-competes.
So get used to your non-competes, people.
Yeah. Great.
Welcome back, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX at 5 p.m. We'll turn it over to the Redbird Rush Hour, my favorite show on the station, other than Hancock and Kelly. They're my faves. Yeah, you guys do a nice job. Very nice job.
We try. Wish we had. It feels like we don't have a lot of time. It feels like every day we wrap up and we're like, we need more.
I can sense it in your voice.
We need more.
Yeah.
But then again, we probably don't.
Why I like it, I feel like I'm a pretty average fan. A St. Louis fan, because most St. Louis fans, it seems to me, know a little more than most fans. Like, they're pretty into it. They have a pretty good acumen for it. And you guys challenge me in that I'm not super into a lot of things you guys talk about, but it's interesting, and it takes me to the next level of fandom.
Yeah, I think it's hard. Look, when it's not your job, it's hard to follow it that closely.
Yeah, it is.
Right? I mean, you know, this sounds like a really big pat on the back. It's not. It's just the job that Matt and I have. But when it is your job, you should know it.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's, you know, what a lawyer does all day. They're getting paid to do that. They should be good at it. They should be
like, it's my job to know stupid stuff.
Yes.
I'm about to give you one. Medical science seems to have figured out what causes nightmares primarily. And it's diet. Hmm. And it's three things.
Okay.
Dairy, spicy foods, and sweets. And the closer to bed you have them, the better your chance. It's literal nightmare fluid of fuel.
Really?
Yes. And my whole thing until very recently has been to have a ding dong and a big gulp of milk.
Okay.
So, although I don't have terrible nightmares, maybe two or three a year, thankfully. But yeah, that's what causes it. You seem unmoved.
No, it's curious. I'm trying to think like how they reconcile, because I generally do not have nightmares.
But you don't remember.
Well, that's right. I don't remember. Maybe
he's having like the worst nights.
Maybe I just, yeah, that's possible. I mean, if I don't remember, I don't remember. So maybe, but I don't eat spicy foods late at night, like never. And usually spicy for me is like mild.
Yeah.
I'm not usually on the hot side.
Yeah.
I don't usually eat desserts that late. So this is like saying like right before bed or like.
The closer to bed, the worse.
Okay. Because I mean, I will have like ice cream around, you know, 4 or 5 hours before I go to bed.
You don't remember your nightmares, so if you don't remember them, they don't count.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to change anything.
Speaking of sleep, the latest fad in vacations is sleepcations.
Yeah.
Where people are going on vacations pretty much exclusively to sleep. Like, if that means a cozy cabin or a high-rise in New York, whatever it is, people are just so sleep-deprived, they're going on vacations and just sleeping 12 hours a day. Sounds pretty good.
I mean, like a sleepcation sounds good, but I don't want to pay thousands of dollars to go sleep.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Like, I mean, if you're going to say, like, I'm going to do, like, a long 4-day weekend at home and I'm just going to sleep, you know, as much as I want, I'm totally down with that. Now, that sounds great.
Speaking of that, I need to schedule my shingles vaccine.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Do it on a Friday.
Yeah.
If you do it on Friday in the morning, if it's going to hit you, it will be, like, later in the evening.
Yeah.
And then you got 2 days to
got a couple headlines.
Be a zombie.
I do. Headlines is still brought to you by Schnucks. Let's see. A snake on a plane delayed a flight in Australia. Mm. It was a harmless 2-foot green tree snake that was discovered as passengers were boarding from Melbourne to Brisbane. Was the flight? They called in a snake catcher. He initially thought the snake could be venomous, which is obviously a problem.
Yeah.
So it ended up delaying the flight for about 2 hours. But it turns out he was fine.
Mm.
And the snake has been given to a veterinarian to find a home with a licensed snake keeper.
A little surprised. Like, Australians to me just seem like they'd grab the snake and throw it out.
Well, but everything there wants to eat you and kill you.
Yeah, I guess.
And they probably have snakes that look just like that will kill you.
Wheels and I were talking about this off the air yesterday. Lululemon has filed a lawsuit against Costco, claiming the company is selling knockoff products. They say Costco is using manufacturers of branded products for its Kirkland brand without disclosing the connection to consumers. And Lululemon claims that their sale of knockoff versions of its products misleads shoppers. I don't really understand that thought process.
It's dupes, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to go to Costco thinking I'm picking up an actual Lululemon branded
unless you're real
item.
Stupid.
Well, especially when it's labeled Kirkland.
Yeah.
It's got a label on it that says this is not Lululemon.
Yeah, Lulu needs to go outside and practice falling down.
Good luck with it, because this is what Costco's done with every one of their things.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the Kirkland brand things are based on
knock-offs.
Other things.
Yeah.
And they just call it a different thing.
AMC Theaters is going to start placing even more ads in cinemas nationwide. This started yesterday. It's now informing moviegoers that films are going to start 25 to 30 minutes after... sorry, I have to sneeze.
Bless you.
Pardon me. After showtime to help them avoid sitting through lengthy ads. Yeah, so I guess people show up and then they're like, okay, it said it was 6:45, but yeah. Here it is 7:15 and I'm still watching the previews. Now yeah. AMC is just being a little more transparent about it. Yes.
Can it just be like a sporting thing where like here's the pregame and then here's the game time?
I think that's what they're trying to say.
But then why do it?
Yeah. Just yeah.
Like if you're telling people, hey, just so you know, if you don't want to see all that, don't show up on the time
yeah,
we said.
Just say that the movie's at 6 p.m. And if you're there at 5:30, you're going to get half an hour worth of ads.
Or trailers. Like, I don't mind a ton of trailers. I'm always fine with that because I guess there's a chance there's something in there that's interesting. But I don't need commercials.
Yeah.
That's why I'm paying you all that money for your damn popcorn.
Waffle House has dropped its 50-cent egg surcharge as prices stabilize. They posted on X, excellent news. As of June 2nd, I believe this is a typo. They mean July 2nd. The egg surcharge is officially off the menu. Thanks for understanding.
I think you heard wheels with eggs.
Not you. They. Rach just read it. She didn't do it.
Can I say one thing about Australians?
Please.
I can't remember ever in 25 years on this show painting a whole group of people with a big broad brush. But let me do that now. When I was in Europe for like 8 months, I met a couple hundred Australians.
Yeah.
Every single one, male, female, young, old, were insane. Insane. Crazy.
Huh.
I mean, just bat crap crazy. Fun. Like when the Australians got there, the party was going to happen.
Yeah.
But like to a man, crazy.
Interesting.
Yes.
Do you think it's a put on at all?
Maybe exaggerated.
Kind of like how Americans act like they're tough and mean sometimes.
Maybe.
Because like when I was in Australia, like in Sydney, everybody was so nice.
And
they weren't crazy. They were normal.
Maybe it's like Superman and Krypton.
Get them farther away.
Get them farther away.
They were at party time, right? It was that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you're out traveling, you're out there to have fun. So maybe that's it.
For 2026, Toyota is the best resale value brand according to Kelley Blue Book. With the Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner named the top three for resale value above all vehicles by KBB. And with special financing available at your local Toyota dealer, you can enjoy affordability today. While great resale value can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.